Is this thing on? Hello, everybody. It is Monday, June 17th, 2019. I am your host, Baratha the Hutt, and here is my co-host, Sandy the Girl Cat. Welcome back to Baratha's News Balancing Act podcast. How's this week been for you? And I had another special guest with me today. His name is Creamsicle. And I needed to take him to the vet earlier. Sandy and he have not been the best of friends recently, but they do tolerate each other. So I hope that we will see Creamsicle more regularly in the future. Anywho, on to the news. Boop, boop, beep, boop. Our focus this week is back towards the international spotlight. Hong Kong has seen quite a few protests in recent months concerning the 2019 Fugitive Offenders and Mutual Legal Assistance in Criminal Matters legislation bill. We'll look at the Washington Examiner and Vox, or Vox or VOX, I don't know how you prefer it, but I think it's called Vox. But let me just brief our wonderful listeners on the events surrounding these protests. So, to be honest with you, I had to research these events first because I was also unaware of the details until recently. So, let's call this bill the China Extradition Bill to make our lives easier. This China Extradition Bill is actually an amendment to an already existing bill. Under certain criminal circumstances, suspects are not required by local governments to be extradited to other locations. This bill or amendment would add rules allowing for extradition. And I think if we were to go into further details that I have not really done, there is no requirement at all for extraditing a criminal from one place to another. And we're talking specifically about China. So an example of this would be a person committing a crime in mainland China and escaped to Hong Kong. If arrested, Hong Kong would be obligated to send the suspect back to China to face their crime. Of course, the citizenship of the suspect would also cause complexity in this issue. But if we look at how complex the various governments are run among China, Hong Kong, and Taiwan, you can see how there can be criticisms and frictions behind this bill. There have been protests on March 31st, April 28th, June 6th, June 9th, June 12th, June 14th, and a person unfortunately committed suicide in a protest on June 15th. So, as you can see, it has been very serious and deadly. So, let's get back to it. Our first article comes from the Washington Examiner, written by, the Associated Press. All right, I'll probably talk about this in court of opinion. It is titled, Hong Kong Leader Delays Unpopular Extradition Bill After Massive Protests. Quote, moving to restore calm, apparently with Beijing's backing, Hong Kong Chief Executive Carrie Lam said Saturday she was putting on hold an extradition bill that sparked the city's biggest public protest in years. Activists, unimpressed, demanded she withdraw the legislation and urged Hong Kong residents to turn out Sunday for another massed protest against the proposal, which would enable authorities to send some suspects to stand trial in courts in mainland China. There we go. Hong Kong people have been lied to so many times, said Bonnie Leung, a leader of the Civil Human Rights Front, CHRF, one of the groups that has helped drive the demonstrations. Members of the group said Lam should resign and apologize for the use of police. Members of the group said Lam should resign and apologize for the police use of potentially lethal force during clashes on Wednesday that turned violent. In a news briefing earlier, Lam sidestepped questions over whether she should quit. She insisted she was not withdrawing the proposal amendment to the extradition law and defended the police. But Lamb said she was suspending the bill indefinitely. It was time, she said, for a responsible government to restore as quickly as possible this calmness in society. Many in the former British colony, Hong Kong, worry the proposed bill would further erode cherished legal protections and freedoms. Appearing cheerful but occasionally frustrated over repeated questions over whether she would resign, Lam said the government would fully study the matter further. Okay. For, quote, the greatest interest of Hong Kong, unquote. After repeated internal deliberations over the last 2 days, I now announce that the government has decided to suspend the legislative amendment exercise, Lam said. I want to stress that the government is adopting an open mind, she said. We have no intention to set a deadline for this work. Lam apologized for what she said were failures in her government's work to convince and reassure the public, but she has not withdrawn the bill. Give us another chance, she said. She said she would adopt a sincere and humble attitude in accepting criticism over the government's standing of the issue. But a protest Wednesday turned violent with clashes with police, leaving about 80 people injured, including 22 officers. The standoff between police and protesters in the former British colony escalated into Hong Kong's most severe political crisis since the Communist Party ruled mainland, took control in 97, with a promise not to interfere with the city's civil liberties and courts. Lam, chosen by Beijing to be the highest level of local official, was caught between her Communist Party bosses and a public anxious to protect the liberties they enjoy as a former British colony. Lam said the legislation is still needed to address various deficiencies in Hong Kong's law. Taiwan's insistence that it would not allow a man suspected of killing a Hong Kong woman be extradited helped in her decision to withdraw the proposed amendment to the Fugitive Offenders Law. Lam said the case was one reason driving a rush to get it passed, but that the original urgency is perhaps no longer there. Another factor behind the seeking of the change was criticism of Hong Kong by the Anti-Money Laundering Financial Action Task Force, she said. We will try again if circumstances permit, Lam said. She parried the questions over whether she would step down, saying she had Beijing's backing. I can tell you, the Central People's Government has confidence in my judgment and they support me, she said. She did not confirm when asked if she had met with Vice Premier Han Zhang to discuss the situation, but did say she had reported on the issue to Beijing. Lam emphasized that a chief concern was to avoid further injuries, both for the public and for the police. It is possible there might have been worse confrontations that might be replaced by very serious injuries to my police colleagues and the public, she said. I don't want any of those injuries to happen. Lam defended the forceful moves by police during protests earlier this week, saying some of these are very violent. Have you seen those bricks thrown by protesters, she asked. Lam also cited the economy as a concern. The extradition bill has drawn criticism from the U.S. and British lawmakers and human rights groups, prompting Beijing to lash back with warnings against interference in its internal affairs. Some critics warned Hong Kong might lose its special economic status, conferred by measures such as the 1992 U.S. Hong Kong Policy Act, if the legislation further undermined the territory's legal autonomy. To keep Hong Kong's special status as a customs territory, Beijing needs to abide by its one country, two systems promise to protect the territory's legal autonomy for 50 years as promised, analysts said. Prosecutions of activists, detentions without trial of five Hong Kong book publishers, and the illegal seizure in Hong Kong by mainland agents of at least one mainland businessman are among moves in recent years that have undermined that status. Unquote. First off, let me ignore that the AP contributed to this article for a second. So back to the Washington Examiner. So the Examiner first gave the perspective of a leader of the CHRF, goodness gracious, the Civil Human Rights Fund. Bonnie Leung was the viewpoint of the protesters and gave us a quick glimpse into what the protesters thought. And here's the quote. Hong Kong people have been lied to so many times. And that's pretty strong. The Hong Kong chief executive, Carrie Lam, was also quoted many times. In fact, she was quoted about 9 times in the article compared to Leung's 1 quote, and it depends on how you're counting the quotes here. Lam had an opportunity to defend herself, speak on behalf of the Hong Kong and the mainland China governments, and speak on the police response to those protests. So, to me, this feels as though one side of the problem is more heavily focused than the other side. As per AP's contributions, I don't know if the AP wrote the entire article or if an AP writer wrote this specifically for the Washington Examiner or anywhere in between. But kind of like the previous article a few weeks back, the last time we reviewed an AP article, this specific article does not overtly use strong emotional words or phrases that aren't quotes. Like, of course, quotes are used here specifically to drum up your pathos. And we definitely see it in Executive Lam's quotes. Most of her quotes were used in attempt to stir our pathos. You know, a perfect example is, have you seen those bricks thrown by protesters? Okay, let's go to the next article. This one written by Rachel Withers for Vox. The title is Hong Kong's Leader Suspends China Extradition Bill Following Mass Protests. Quote, Hong Kong's chief executive, Carrie Lam, will indefinitely suspend a contentious extradition bill that would allow Hong Kong citizens to be extradited to mainland China following a series of massive and sometimes violent street protests. The New York Times reports the pro-Beijing Lam has consulted with her superiors in mainland China and will hold off on attempting to push the bill through, again, an attempt to quell public anger and avoid further violence. The government announced its decision ahead of another large protest planned for Sunday. Lam, who is reportedly known for never backing down in a fight, had previously vowed to press on a bill, comparing protesters to stubborn children, even as many as 1 million people took to the streets last Saturday. A follow-up protest delayed a debate on the bill Wednesday. Although the bill's progress through the city's legislative council has been delayed, Lam said the measure has not been abandoned. I believe that we cannot withdraw this bill, or else society will say that this bill was groundless, the chief executive said. Leading opposition figures say nothing less than the full withdrawal of the bill is acceptable, and protest leaders have said Sunday's demonstration will proceed as planned. Some activists made it clear they do not trust Lam. A spokesperson for the Civil Human Rights Front, one of the groups in charge of organizing the recent protests, said, Hong Kong people do understand what is happening and we can see through the lies of Carrie Lam. Another group, Demel Sisto, called on the protests to continue because the Hong Kong government may restart the legislative process anytime in the future. This position was echoed by some lawmakers, including pro-democracy lawmaker Claudia Mo, who responded to Lam's decision by telling the Times, quote, this is not good enough, simply not right. We demand a complete scrapping of this controversial bill, unquote. The controversial extradition bill empowers Hong Kong officials to extradite The controversial extradition bill empowers Hong Kong officials to extradite wanted criminal suspects to stand trial in mainland China and requires Hong Kong to extradite suspects to jurisdictions it lacks extradition agreements with. There we go. More details. China and Hong Kong don't currently share an extradition agreement. When Hong Kong finalized its extradition accords in 1997 after being released from British rule, it didn't include China due to its fundamentally different criminal justice system and concerns over mainland's track record under protection of fundamental rights. Bum, bum, bum. While Hong Kong is technically under control of the People's Republic of China, under the terms of the 1997 handover of power from the UK to China, the city is supposed to be allowed to govern itself until 2047 under a policy known as One Country, Two Systems. Essentially, this means that while Hong Kong is under Chinese sovereignty, it is supposed to free certain... it's supposed to be free to retain its own political and legal systems. However, Beijing has been pressuring Hong Kong's leaders to pass laws that bring it more closely in line with the Chinese government, including this recent extradition law, which is sponsored by the pro-Beijing government. Many fear that the new powers would allow China to target any person in Hong Kong that it wants. But as Vox's Alex Ward writes, the protests are much more than just this particular bill. Rather, they are about the future of democracy, with protesters viewing the proposed amendments as part of China's creeping attempts to assert its authority over the semi-autonomous Hong Kong. Experts say the newest flare-up is part of a long-term resistance movement to keep the city as independent as possible. The proposed change to the extradition law, which would open up Hong Kongers and other passing through a city to the vicissitudes of mainland Chinese justice, is the latest in a long list of actions that undermine the democratic freedoms and rule of law, says Hong Kong expert at Lowry Institute in Australia, Ben Bland, who also wrote a book about life in post-handover Hong Kong. The protests, which were mostly peaceful when they began last Sunday, saw self-described regular citizens take to the streets, with one protester telling the New York Times, "We are not activists. Even as regular citizens, we cannot stand to see China eroding away our freedom." The protests have escalated in recent days. Riot police clashed with protesters on Wednesday, firing tear gas, rubber bullets, and beanbags at the crowd as demonstrators tried to rush Hong Kong's main legislative buildings. The protesters ultimately delayed a scheduled debate on the bill, although at the time, few expected that they would be able to delay it indefinitely. Demonstrations continued immediately following Lam's announcement. One protester fell to his death Saturday evening. The man had attached a banner reading, "No extradition to China, total withdrawal of the extradition bill. We are not rioters. Please release the students and injured. Carrie Lam, step down, help Hong Kong," to the side of a luxury mall. Wow. He died after missing an inflatable cushion first responders erected for him to jump onto. Just as a side note, they're saying that this particular protester fell to his death. I shall try to find the other article I read in which they viewed it as a suicide. Lawmaker Ray Chan blamed Lam for the protester's death on Twitter, writing, "As a butcher, oh my goodness, Carrie Lam's regime remains in power. Sad events, including the loss of life, are bound to happen." He went on to call the public to demonstrate Sunday in the fallen activist's memory, writing, "We will honor the nameless hero and show the world the heartless B-word has no credibility. Kill the bill and get Carrie Lam fired." Lam has not yet made clear when she plans to take the issue of the bill back up. She has, however, promised to listen to those who are against the measure. "We will adopt the most sincere and humble attitude to accept criticisms and make improvements," Lam said. And, unquote. Let me point out the first thing that jumped off the page to me. Lam is described as pro-Beijing in the opening paragraph, so already a strong political stance by the New York Times, and of course, for Vox, for mentioning that. Lam is quoted first to show the readers that she is working hard to back this bill and fighting for it pretty hard. On the other side of the bill, multiple protesting groups are quoted here to voice their displeasure of the bill and of Executive Lam. So, unlike the Washington Examiner, these multiple protesting groups being quoted make it seem as though that the opposition at large is united. And as I said earlier, with the 1 million protesters, that is a big group. Lam's quotes are also limited, as if Vox wants to paint the opposite of the Washington Examiner. And especially keeping Lamb as a one-dimensional person. It absolutely feels like there is desire to place more empathy on the protesters than to Lamb and her government. And of course, the last quote by Lamb show that she, hopefully, is open to dialogue with our opposition. So, what do you think about both of these articles and the media's bias behind them? Let me know by emailing bnbapodcast@gmail.com. Again, that is bnbapodcast@gmail.com. I might have said that wrong the first time. Listen to me the second time. In the meantime, please enjoy our next segment, speaking about these specific articles and this topic, Court of Opinion. So, to me, it seems like no matter what type of government, if you're looking at Hong Kong, if you're looking at mainland China, if you're looking at Cambodia, if you're looking at Sudan, if you're looking at Nigeria, if you're looking at the United States, if you're looking at Argentina, looking at Brazil, on and on and on and on, governments have a way of reacting to protests. And it's all very telling. More often than not, the initial response to protests, no matter what sort of huge major protests there are, is always some sort of tension that leads to violence. Either, you know, minor injuries up to death. No matter what type of government it is. Whether you are a communist country, whether you are a democracy, there is a similar response, a similar reaction, no matter where you are. And I do say that the Hong Kong government, society, however you want to put it, that specifically the Hong Kong culture is very advanced, in the way that they conduct everyday governmental business, as well as regular citizens' business. And I do personally dare say that it is more advanced than the U.S. in many ways. But the same thing, Executive Lamb, in my opinion, has not done a good job in keeping the Hong Kongers' best interests. I don't know enough of the politics in place to say if she truly is a puppet in the mainland Chinese government's hands. But that definitely must be a factor. And at the very least, as we could tell, that's what all the protesters believe. It's a very unfortunate turn of events where there have been so many protests in a short amount of time, and already there are little signs of stopping. Very concerning to me. Looking at, or I wouldn't just say look, but hearing already the conflicting news of this one gentleman that jumped off and died. Earlier I told you that this person committed suicide. But in the Vox article, he fell and died. It's already two different counts. I don't know what the real truth is. Definitely saddened, no matter what, by the loss. I also wonder how much the media is playing one side or the other of this man's death. Not to mention the protester side versus the government side. And of course, both of these news articles that I've read are American based, so we can already assume that at the very least there is an angle that they both are trying to make in pro-American interests. You could even possibly say anti-communist interests. But no matter what, it's unfortunately not going to let up in my eyes. And I do like, in real life, compare it to my ancestral country, Cambodia, with all of their strife and protests and violence and lack of free speech. It's similar in a way. But as a tangent, I do want to mention that the way that China has been assisting many countries throughout the world in their infrastructure by providing funding, that is a very smart, cunning move. You know, hopefully if we have time in the future, we can dive into it in a separate episode. But for now, I'm sure that there are many different articles and thoughts about China being more global and being strategically political, especially when you compare it to America increasingly becoming isolational, being isolationist. There we go. And with the U.S. being isolationist, I don't think there's enough news about these protests in Hong Kong. They definitely mirror the U.S. in some way. You can see that the main government, the mainland Chinese government, the equivalent of the U.S. federal government, has a specific desire to pass a certain bill or even be lax on certain other bills and enforcements which allow them to fulfill their agenda in some way. So you have protests occurring created by the people and by different groups, specifically in this Hong Kong incident. Many human rights groups are part of it. Same here in the U.S. There's the protests, say, against President Trump for some of the things that he did and said. And it's a lot of, I would like to say, seemingly decent groups and people who are backing these protests. So as you can see here, I'm just trying to draw parallels between the U.S. events and the Hong Kong events. Of course, here in the U.S., there's been, because of the difference in culture, there's a lot of different ways, a lot of different unique, detailed, specific ways in which things are handled here. And in Hong Kong, of course, with the authoritarian communist government of the People's Republic of China being in charge, they have their own ways and techniques of dealing with protests and things like that. Overall, very concerning for me, specifically about the articles. From what I know and my limited knowledge, the Washington Examiner does lean right in some respects, and Vox, of course, leans left. So hopefully I gave you all a pretty good perspective on how different sides of the American news media are portraying this specific event. And at the very least, I think they are talking about this, about all these protests that are occurring in Hong Kong. Now, of course, the specific events, protests, tragedies, and specific viewpoints are shown differently. And that's totally up for you to decide which one that you would prefer yourself. Otherwise, that's all that I have for Court of Opinion. Specifically for this, I don't think my opinion matters that much because we are in the international stage. Thank you guys so much for listening to Court of Opinion. Barathatan the Science Man here, hijacking this podcast once again for another science segment. This week, we are tracking the Hubble Space Telescope. Special thanks to Rob Garner and Phys.org for this galactic article. This article, titled Hubble Sets Sights on Explosive Galaxy, is worth a look because there is a picture of a spiral galaxy named NGC 4051. Absolutely stunning. For years, this Hubble Space Telescope has been capturing the lives of supernovas, as well as other types of stars and galaxies. A supernova starts out as a massive star, nearing the end of its life. The collapsing star lights up the night sky with exploding bursts of light. Imagine all the energy being released all at once. The spiral galaxy NGC 4051 has offered us amazing opportunities in the past to observe these supernovas, 1983, 2003, and 2010. Now, scientists and astronomers controlling the Hubble are focusing on NGC 4051 once more to witness another supernova. Where is NGC 4051, you ask? It is located on the southern part of the galaxy in Ursa Major 1 cluster. Now, you may be familiar with Ursa Major and Ursa Minor. The cluster is part of, or subset of, the Virgo supercluster. And guess what? Our Milky Way galaxy is part of it. Please allow me, once again, to take you on a journey to the cosmos. Let us lift off to the spiral galaxy, quickly approaching our Ursa Major constellation. You watch through the window of our spaceship and realize that we pass by the Big Dipper. Hello, Big Dipper. Suddenly, we stop on our approach to a huge star. As it continues to dim, the star shrinks. And before we know it, the star is fully contracted, and we stand in amazement as the star immediately explodes into the brightest thing we've ever seen. Its beautiful rays cascade out into the dark void, hoping that something in the cosmos will capture the supernova's photons. Quick, let's follow those photons back to Earth. Oh my, the night sky on Earth is clear, free from clouds and fog. Stargazers are transfixed at the supernova that we had just visited. These photons, carrying with them the information from over 45 million light years away, have done their job. Humanity stands in awe of the mystery of the cosmos. Thank you for coming on this journey with me. Sandy, back to you. Once again, special thanks to our resident science man for the journey to space. Thank you all for listening. If you have any questions, suggestions, or other things, our email is bnbapodcast@gmail.com. Again, that is bnbapodcast. I just messed up the second one, didn't I? It is bnbapodcast@gmail.com, and I'm going to leave this in here. No editing that one out. As always, see hope through all things.